We have a couple of announcements. We have a very special lady who's been part of us for a really long time, and she's having a special birthday. Now, it's Jan Skerlock. There seems to be some disagreement as to which birthday this is, and so I'm not going to say which birthday this is, but when you get a chance, give her a happy birthday. Happy birthday. She says 89. She says 89. And thank you to whoever started that, because I couldn't have started it. So that was good. We have another announcement. Is Alan Hilton is with us. He is the Reverend Doctor, but don't let that intimidate you. He's really just a really good guy. He is the director of Covenants Institute for Missional Formation, which means he's very interested in how we grow spiritually. Bible study is part of that, so he's kind of checking us out today. Be sure and say hello to him. He also has something called House United, right? And Alan's focus, one of his focuses, is that he is a master of facilitating connections and conversations with people across lines so as to create community with those with whom we don't necessarily agree or who don't necessarily agree with us. It's really fabulous. So I'm going to let him stand up and say whatever he wants to say.
So some of you were confused by my hairstyle and the fact that I don't really fit the usual demographic. And some of you think I'm confused, which is probably right. So I have been hearing about Lamplighters since I first arrived at Covenant, 16 months ago, and Jan and I started to put our heads together and try to find a time, and it got pushed back and pushed back. I just wanted to sit and see what you do. And so I got to be at the leaders meeting this morning, which was fantastic, and I'm so excited to get to hear you all, because I like Bible study. And part of my job here is to sort of introduce new Bible studies, but what I want to do is learn from the ones that already exist and how strongly they are forming lives. And so I'm delighted to be here. And Jan mentioned these conversations that I facilitate. We have one coming up on the 24th, so not very long from now, on a Wednesday night. We'll be gathering here to talk about the presidential election, which, as you can guess, is an easy thing to talk about. we're going to just, and the purpose of these, as Jan suggested, is to make sure we're loving one another unconditionally in an election year when not many people are doing that, when we're canceling one another, when we're choosing friends on the basis of who votes for whom, when all of the polarization and tribalism kind of lands next to our lives. Jesus called us all to be one. He prayed for that his disciples would all be one. And so we have these conversations in order to remind ourselves that we belong to one another, whoever we're voting for. And so we'll talk about the election and some people's fear of it and some people's excitement about it and all those things. Wednesday, 6:15 on the 24th. 5 o'clock, food is served, which is a good incentive to get you here. I invite you to come, and I'm delighted to be with you. So thank you for putting up with the lower voice.
Thank you, Alan. When he said election, I heard some groans. I have been to several of Alan's courageous conversations, and let me tell you, first of all, he is the most non-anxious person in the entire world. And secondly, he frames things in a way that you actually can find common ground. It doesn't mean we have to agree. It just means we have to love each other, and those conversations are really good. If you can be here that night, I would encourage you to be here, because I think you will be encouraged by the whole evening. So that's on the 24th. Okay. Can you believe this is the last time we're together until the picnic next week? Don't forget the picnic. The valley is gorgeous. The creek is full. Hopefully the sun will be shining. You can come early, stay late, do whatever you want to do. Carpool. I would encourage you to carpool just because it's more fun. You start the party earlier. And we'll start whenever anybody shows up, and we'll go until everybody's gone. So that's it. We're excited about it. Okay, we have a special treat for you. hopefully. That was taken by our own Danielle Walker. Yay! Isn't that amazing? I'm gonna leave that up a little bit. I don't know how many of you got to experience the full solar eclipse thing. Anybody? Oh, good, a lot of you. Harold and I were out of town. We were up in Clifton at a reunion of some West Texas people, and it just happened to be this weekend, and so we stayed. And if you can imagine, there were 5 couples, 10 of us, in a line, on the grass, pillows under our heads, sunglasses on, and we were there for about 2 hours. I got so sunburned in spite of my trying to be good with sunscreen. Anyway, it was fabulous. We got to see the entire thing. And we got to experience 4 minutes and 22 seconds of totality. That's how centered Clifton was in that path. It was amazing. A lot of things happened that I expected. You know, the light got dim, the birds grew quiet, the cattle all came together and laid down out in the pasture. And then as totality appeared, we could see stars, which was just amazing to me. And everything went absolutely silent. Absolutely silent. Including the 10 people. I've been hearing about people cheering and laughing and honking their horses. We were not. We were just in awe. Our mouths were hanging open, right? It was spectacular. It was magnificent. It was mysterious. It was awe-inspiring. It was any adjective you can think of is probably not adequate to describe this experience. And you can see she caught the corona and the flares all around, the diamond ring, they call that the diamond ring. I tried really, really hard to describe that to my brother because he missed out on it. And what I realized is only the psalmist comes close, which is, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And that was truly a thin place during that total eclipse. Now, one thing stuck out to us, which I didn't expect. I thought when you had a total solar eclipse, it would be dark, like night. There's no sun, so it's like night. It wasn't that way. We could still see. There was enough light to see people, grasses, trees, all of that kind of thing. And that was unexpected. The moon, in spite of the fact that it covered up the whole sun, can't cover up the corona ring or the light scatter from the sun. So there was enough light to see. And then, just as the moon began to move, this tiny, tiny little sliver of sun appeared, and it was blinding. It was so bright. You had to put your glasses back on because it was so bright. Which, of course, brings up to mind the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And so I've been pondering all of this and thinking, no matter what tries to blot out Jesus, whether it's sin or evil or tragedy or pain or whatever it is in our lives, no matter what tries to blot out Jesus, the light wins. The light always wins. So about this time, you're probably wondering what in the world this has to do with our study this past year, because we're wrapping up today. But we always want to end well. We're going to go over our lesson for today, and I don't know about y'all. I was not too excited about this study in the beginning. I was like, women, how boring. However, I confess to you, I was wrong. I was really wrong. These women are so dear to me. I've loved them so much. I really want to hang on to them. Not so much the cutting off head ones, but the others, right? And I thought, how can I take what we've done this year and carry it forward with me? Well, the eclipse gives us a clue, all right? So here's the connection for me. Each and every woman that we studied this year, that we identified with, we delved into, is a sliver of light. That light penetrated into our lives and it revealed to us some attractive aspects of ourselves and also some repellent attributes of ourselves. So they really lit us up from the inside. All of their personalities were different. Their character qualities were diverse. They were very strong. These women were both ancient, meaning the things they faced were several thousand years ago in different cultures and different times, right? But they were all strangely contemporary. The issues that they faced, the emotions that they dealt with, the sins they struggled against fit us. They have been lights to us, much like that eclipse. Small, but very, very bright. And now they're all part of that great cloud of witnesses that loves us and cheers us on our own race, right? So that made me imagine, try to imagine sitting down with Eve or Sarah. Don't you have a lot of questions for them? You know, or Queen Esther. Queen Esther, wow. But in a way, we have already sat down with them because we studied them this year. But also because we have women in our lives who are those women. We have Sarahs, we have Esthers. We hopefully don't have any of those that cut people's heads off. But we have Marys in our lives, okay? So I thought one of the fun things to do, kind of solidify this for us this year, one of the leaders went through and read all the names in our study. And I encourage you for someone to do that in your small group this year because it's a really good review. But what I am going to do is take some of those character qualities of the women we've studied, and you are going to apply them to current. Okay, so get out a piece of paper and a pen. This is going to be a snap. There's no thinking involved in this, okay? There's no pondering, there's no reflecting. You can do that later afterwards. I'm gonna say an attribute, and you're gonna write down the name of a woman that has that attribute in your life. You know, she could be already part of the great cloud of witnesses, or she could be in this room. You know, who knows? But it's your first gut response. Okay? Ready? Leadership. Trust. Prayer. Wisdom. Faith. Patience. Encouragement. Relentless pursuit. Here's a good one. Self-control. Joy. Slow down. And there are like about 50 others you could think of, okay, attributes that some woman in your life has displayed to you at some point. Now, if you think of these women as these slivers of light in your life, they've provided light to you at one point or another, right? And some of them, even though they may not be here, still are. Like, what would my mother do? Okay? It's that kind of thing. Reminding ourselves of the people who have invested in us continues to build our faith and continues to help us grow in the faith and character. And it encourages us to invest in others. That's why it's so important to have a series of these diamond rings in our lives, because it reminds us. It reminds us of where we've been and where we're going. It reminds us that God sees us. He saw each one of those women. He sees us, he knows us, he loves us, And in turn, we get to be those slivers of light for other people. Isn't that awesome? To think of yourself as part of this incredible, incredible beauty. Now, that's kind of the end of our story this year, but it's not the end of the story. Next fall, we are going to dive into the book of Acts, okay? Now, once again, I was not too excited about that. However, I've had several people say, I can't wait. I haven't been in Acts in years. And it's true. Acts tells us what's next. So we finish this study, and then what's next is going to be next fall. It's like, what's next? The rest of the story for us, for our families, for our church, for our world. It's very exciting. It's what happens when all these slivers of light get let loose. That's what we're going to be delving in next fall, all right? So before you ask, no, we don't have registration up yet. We will let you know when we do. That'll be in a while because we're not quite up on things yet. But we hope you will all come back in September and discover the next chapter with us. Okay, let's pray. Father, you are awesome. You are the creator of the entire universe, and all things sing your praises. We thank you that you see us and you know us and that you have gathered us in your family. Father, fill us with the light that is your Son, that we can reflect your light in your life to others, that we can be part of this wonderful river of believers to reach out and bring living water to other people. Let us be beacons of your love and your hope and your joy. Help us always to point to the true source of light and life, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. And now as these groups go forward, Lord, I pray that they will have wonderful, deeply meaningful conversations and smell the fragrant aroma of Christ in each and every one of those rooms. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.